Yeah, you know what you can get me, Pee-wee?
What?
El Hombre.
First of all, as a service to the listeners, this is an absolute forget about it.
El Hombre.
He's a pariah. I mean, it's like going after raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens.
El Hombre.
Here he is, everybody. You look forward to him joining us every single week, every Tuesday at 5, unless we're being preempted by the Mariners. We bring in the one, the only, El Hombre, Michael Bradley, who joins us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Hello, Michael.
What's happening, everybody?
You know, there's not a lot happening out here with the baseball team. They have hit the skids. They dropped 4-5 to the Los Angeles Angels. They were shut out in the final two games. It's just... it looks bad out here, and they had a day off between the end of that series and the beginning of the road trip that starts tonight, and everybody was speculating, well, this is where they make a move. This is where, you know, at minimum the hitting coach gets fired, but maybe Scott Servais or maybe it's DePoto, what have you. Nothing happened, and I've been looking at it going, well, I don't know what realistically you could expect to change with guys that are hitting well below anything they've ever hit in their career, Adam Frazier, Jesse Winker. But you had a managerial change out there in Philly, and things did turn around pretty rapidly after that, after the departure of Girardi, right?
Yeah, and the question you have to ask yourself is it Scott Servais? I mean, is the problem with the players that they don't like the manager? In Philadelphia, it became clear after Joe Girardi was fired that players were not comfortable playing for him, that he was not somebody that especially the younger players liked, and that Rob Thompson has had a more casual effect on the team. And you know, and you see that I think they've got three of the top 10 NL OPS guys right now. They're really murdering the ball. And that makes up for a lot of sins in the bullpen. More importantly, they're playing great in the later innings of the game. In the past, if the Phillies were trailing in the seventh, forget it. And most of the time, it got worse. So, you know, sometimes a managerial change can do that. But is Scott Servais the problem? Would you go around the clubhouse, and if the players are being honest, would you get, oh, we don't like the guy? That's when a change can help.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. He seems very likable. He always takes care of his guys. But as far as your guy, Rob Thompson, what are some of the stories about what he did as far as turning things around for the Phillies?
Some of it has been that he's just put players – you know, one of the things about Girardi was his lineup card was a mess. You couldn't – from day to day, you couldn't rely on anything happening consistently. And that's what he Thompson has brought some more consistency to it. Now, there have been some injuries. Gene Segura broke his finger. They had Camargo had to go down and do a rehab assignment. So, I mean, there were some changes that had to be made. But for the most part, guys know where they're supposed to be now. He's put together a little bit of more consistency. The bullpen he's handling differently. Girardi was mishandling the bullpen horrifically. He was bringing guys in high-leverage situations that didn't belong in the game. So that's the tactical part that has changed and gotten better. As terms of how to handle the team and handle the clubhouse, is there somebody in that dugout that would do it better than Servais would right now?
Yeah, and that's the hard part. You know, we were talking about the pie chart of blame. Who gets the biggest slice? And I'm putting it on the players. I mean, these are guys that come with a resume of success. And in the cases of Adam Frazier and Jesse Winker, the rest I would put on DePoto for roster construction, because you just got a lot of guys who are hitting around 200, below 200. You're trying to turn Abraham Toro into an everyday player, and Dylan Morris, just a utility guy, Luis Torrens. You got kind of, you know, four or five different versions of the same player that are all not great. So I would look at him, and then Servais would probably be third on my list in you know, where I'm pointing the finger of blame.
Yeah, sometimes the players just don't do their jobs. And the one thing you have to remember is with the three wild cards right now, you're six games out of the third spot, and it's June 21st. So, I mean, we still have more than 3 months of baseball remaining, and there's a lot that can happen. So, you know, unless the general manager is saying, we got a real problem with the manager, the players aren't responding to him, they don't like playing for him, unless he can point to that, making a change for change's sake isn't really the thing that you do. What it comes down to is, do you have a good substitute that's going to make a difference, it's really going to get these guys going, or is it just a situation where the players have to buckle down a little bit?
Would you, if you were the manager, Michael, would you pitch to Mike Trout?
Right. Here's what I'd be doing if I were the manager. I would be starting a petition so that the man never enters the state of Washington again. I mean, at this point, it's unbelievable what he's doing. So you can't just say we're going to pull a Balco Bonds on him or going to walk him intentionally every time. But I would make sure that my pitchers knew that he is somebody that, unless it's a real tough situation, one-run game, late innings, and there's guys on base where a walk can do a lot of damage, you pitch him as carefully as possible right now.
Yeah, I mean, 52 home runs against the Mariners in, what, 11, 12 years. And I was watching a Mets broadcast, and they were saying how Willie Stargell hit 60 against the Mets. But that was in, like, what, 20, 21 years or something like that?
Yeah, that was in a lot of years. Stargell played a long time. People don't remember. Stargell, everything's about him in the 70s with the We Are Family team in 79. He played in the 60s. He played for a long time. And the Mets, when he was playing against them in the 60s until 69, were god-awful. So you had some opportunities to really slug the ball. And people remember Stargell as the sort of fat guy who was the captain in 79. When he came up in the 60s and the early 70s, he was a beast. So what Trout is doing is unprecedented to Seattle. But, yeah, I would make sure that he is treated very carefully from here on
out. Only problem is he's an Eagles fan. Sorry, had to get that in.
Hey, I love the fact that he's a season ticket holder. Love seeing him at the games.
Oh, boy. Hey, we were playing a cut. We talked about the LIV Tour and golf with you before, but I want to play this cut from Brooks Koepka at the U.S. Open being asked about it, and then we'll give you the headline. But here's how he responded to being asked about the tournament.
I haven't given it that much thought.
Really?
I don't understand. I'm trying to focus on the U.S. Open, man. Like, I legitimately don't get it. I'm tired of the conversations. I'm tired of all this stuff. Y'all, like I said, y'all are throwing a black cloud on the U.S. Open. I think that sucks. I actually do feel bad for him for once. Because it's a situation. Like, we're here to play, and you're talking about some event that happened last week.
Well, there's events going to be going on now for the next foreseeable future.
I know, but you can't drive a car looking in the rearview mirror, can you?
So
actually, my wife has done that in the past.
Fast forward.
My wife does the same thing. She's putting makeup on, drinking coffee, talking on the phone. It's a wonder she hasn't hit a manure spreader.
But so you've got that soundbite there, and then you look at the headline on the golf page on ESPN Today. Sources: Koepka, latest to leave the PGA Tour for LIV. Four-time major champ Brooks Koepka is the latest golfer to defect from the PGA Tour to the LIV Golf Invitational Series. That's a bad look for him, to say the least, to react the way he did to the question. He doesn't have to answer anything. He can say, I haven't given him much thought. I'm focused on this tournament, whatever. But for him to get agitated and, you know, hey, you're putting a black cloud over this thing. I actually feel bad for the USGA. And then, what, 3 days later, it's official. He's going to leave for the LIV Tour.
This is why athletes don't understand. He hurts every athlete when he does this. Because it's sort of like, you know, what's the old joke? How do you know when a politician's lying? His lips are moving.
Yeah.
How do you know when an athlete is lying? His lips are moving. I can't tell you how many times. I remember talking to an NBA player one time, and he was on a team, and I asked him, you know, how's the team chemistry? How are things? He goes, oh, great. We go out together. It's tremendous. Next year he was on a different team. I asked him about the previous season. Oh, we hated each other. So these guys will lie, and what he did there, when he said that, the key thing he said there was, I actually feel sorry for them for once. That was his indication that he doesn't like the USGA and the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're gonna have some other people go, and let them go. Here's the one thing about golf. Nobody thought, you know, who won? Fitzpatrick won the U.S. Open this weekend. He's now the hot guy, right? Scottie Scheffler had a great start to the season. Will Zalatoris is on the verge of breaking through. Rory McIlroy keeps playing very good golf. He hasn't won a big tournament, although he went one a couple weeks ago. There's always going to be guys that hit the ball well and play well and are in contention. If Brooks Koepka wants to be that kind of guy and he wants to go to the LIV Tour, if I'm the PGA, I know it's a dangerous move, but I would really work hard with the USGA to keep these folks out of the majors, because that's what's going to kill them. They're like, I don't care if I play in the Greater Greensboro Open. Eventually, there'll be TV coverage of all these things. I care about playing in the majors, because that's where the prestige comes. Nobody ever says he won nine players tournament, whatever, I don't know. That never happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
they always say he's won 9 majors. So if they can't play in the majors, that's what's going to hit him.
Hey, the one question we were asked earlier was about the sustainability of the LIV Tour, and you know, some comparing it to some of the upstart, you know, football leagues that have come and gone, and in other sports. To me, this is different only because there's a different level of financial backing to it that didn't exist with, you know, the USFL or the AAF or some of these other leagues that have folded. What do you think about that, just in terms of it sticking around? To me, if it doesn't, it's going to be because they got bored and just decided, we don't want to do this anymore. It's not going to be because, well, we can't afford it.
Well, yeah, and the only the answer that kind of stays with it is the AFL. Because once the AFL got a TV contract, that's when it was able to start going out and getting players like Joe Namath and some of the other good players. And they were also smart enough to say, let's go get some historically black college players to come play for us, where the NFL wasn't doing a lot of that. So that's the AFL forced the NFL's hand. The reason there was a merger was that the NFL was saying, we can't keep up, you know, buying players and spending too much money. I mean, Donnie Anderson and Jim Grabowski went to the Green Bay Packers for like $1 million total, and neither of them ended up being a star, and that was because the AFL was out there throwing money at them. This is the same thing. LIV Tour's throwing money at these golfers. The PGA Tour, here's the key, if there's TV coverage and people start watching, and 5 or 10 other big names join, then they're going to have to do something about it, because that's going to really take away a lot of what they're trying to sell. And that if those two things happen, then the PGA's got to make some sort of decision. And that decision may just be you can play in all the majors.
What's golf?
You're not a fan?
No, I'm just giving you a hard time because of your Pennsylvania accent there. Golf.
Well, I say that. I'm saying how they say it over in Europe. They say golf over there, as Judge Smale said in Caddyshack.
That's exactly right.
You were going to ask him about the sayings and.
Oh yeah, yeah. Give us a refresher on it. What is it to get hairs cut? Is that what?
No, this is Pittsburgh. My hair needs cut.
My hair needs cut.
My room needs clean. That's Pittsburgh. Those are Yinzers. Okay. As we call them here.
Yinders?
Here we say yous. Are yous coming over? And over there they say yins. Are yins coming over?
Yins coming over.
Yeah. And as my brother-in-law says, who grew up in Ohio, poor slob, that the Midwest starts when you cross the Susquehanna River, which is like in the middle of Pennsylvania. After that, you're in the Midwest. Pittsburgh, Midwest. It's not the East Coast.
Yeah. Okay.
People are nice out there.
Yeah.
Hairs need cut or hair needs cut?
My hair needs cut.
My hair needs cut.
Hair needs cut.
And then the rubber band was a gum band, right?
Gum band. Yeah, gum band.
That's good stuff.
Guys are goofy out there.
Hey, Gronk. Does anybody not like Gronk retiring today for the second time?
Opposing linebackers and safeties. Yeah. Look, he seems to be the guy who understands it the best, right? When he gets drafted, his whole family is up on the stage afterwards taking group pictures and everything. He seems to understand that he's got a pretty good life, makes a lot of money, good-looking guy. I would imagine that he was rather popular with the ladies, you know, likes to drink beer, best friends with the best player in football for a long time, won a bunch of Super Bowls.
Yeah.
It's kind of – and then he does commercials. The only one I had a problem with was Tide Pods. He said Tide Pods so fast. The first few times I saw it, I didn't know what he was talking about. It sounded like he was talking about Thai food or something. So, Pad Thai or – Thai Pods. So you're right. He's a great character. Nothing has come out about him that is, you know, bad other than the fact that he likes to drink a lot of beer.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of like Barkley, too. We were talking about him earlier. Like, Bob was saying, if you saw Charles Barkley anywhere and you're doing any kind of broadcast, you'd have Charles Barkley on. He was on a hockey broadcast recently.
Yeah.
Similar guy, right? Kind of they know exactly who they are, it seems like.
I was in the grocery store when I used to shop for my mother every Saturday. I was in the grocery store about 10 minutes from her house, and I look around, and there's Charles Barkley pushing a grocery cart.
Yeah.
And I said, Chuck. He's like, how you doing? And there's a bar that I go to rather frequently that he stops into once a summer, buys everybody a drink, tips the bartender $100, smiles for the camera, and walks out.
Wow.
I saw him sit for an hour at a radio event here in Philadelphia. And he talked to every single person who lined up to talk to him. An older woman came up to him, was basically crying and hugging him. He sat there and was, you know, he was not like, how dare you touch me? Stay away. Do we security? No, he's a man of the people, always was. He started out in Philadelphia and decided from day one he was not going to be one of these guys that hid from everybody. And I tell you a story I probably said on this program before. In Sports Illustrated one year, they asked him why he didn't play in summer leagues, back when there were NBA players still playing in summer leagues in Philly and New York and other parts. And he said, are you kidding me? I play against Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, and now I'm going to go play against Sammy Sausagehead? So one day at the movies, my buddy's in line at the movies, and there's Charles Barkley. And he walks up to him and goes, hey, Charles, I'm Sammy Sausagehead. Barkley cracks up. How you doing, man? He never hid from everybody.
Yeah,
he is such a good dude. I mean,
other than he threw the drunk through the play class window.
Oh, that guy deserved it.
He had it coming.
I agree with you.
I was telling Dave about, and I don't know if you ever came out there with us back when I was at Sporting News Radio. They would send us out to that Lake Tahoe Celebrity Golf Tournament every year. And
no, I was never out there. I didn't get the invitation to that.
Okay.
I think their sales staff was just as bad as yours is.
Oh, boy.
Boy, they're going to scurry around to get that endorsement now.
They're not doing anything. They're sitting there. They're all in Zoom meetings and wearing underpants and a golf shirt.
Anyway, we were out there at the golf tournament, and it was a year where they had a tremendous fires. I mean, there was smoke in the air. It just devastated the area. And there were a ton of firefighters that came in from other parts of the state and around, and, you know, tons of them. And he took them all out to there might have been 50 or 60, maybe even more, that he took out to a restaurant, bought them all, like, steak dinners, and just did this on his own. It wasn't a media thing. It was just spur-of-the-moment thing that he did out there. And we, you know, he came and sat with us and just blazing heat and just sat there and talked to us for 40 minutes. I mean, he's an incredibly gracious guy who's generous and just – you know, he'll say what he thinks. He's unapologetic, and I absolutely just love that about him.
My favorite thing now is he's starting to talk about good-looking guys. Like, you know how he and Shaq are talking about Tom Brady?
Yeah.
And how, like, when Tom Brady starts to talk sometimes, they kind of get hypnotized because he's good-looking. Yeah. Last night he went on, like, Canada TV talking about hockey, and he's standing there. He's like, you're a good-looking man. You're like a Canadian Tom Brady. And the guy, and he's like, I like your hair. And it was a riot. And he doesn't care. And see, there are people who like people, right? He just likes people.
Yeah.
They don't like people who are jerks or would behave poorly, but he just likes to be around people. And he knows how to handle himself around them. And people then know how to handle themselves around him. They don't get out of control.
I think we've got the cut here.
Sir Charles Barkley. So, Charles, great to speak with you. What do you think of Cooper and company through two periods here so far?
Well, they're playing fantastic. I got to say a couple things. Number one, your hair is freaking awesome. Your hair is awesome. Hey, you're a good-looking man, too. You're like the Canadian Tom Brady to me.
Well, that's maybe the biggest compliment I've ever received from a big dad. So, Charles, thank you again.
No, thank you for having me.
who is the guy? Is he a good looking guy?
Some young guy with like a pompadour, and he's just sitting there. It's hilarious. And the other thing that's funny about it is, he goes on the ABC or ESPN, whatever it is, coverage of it, and he's sitting there. Yeah, I called Gary Bettman on his cell phone, asked for tickets for tonight's game. It's like he's just dropping names, called the commissioner to get a couple spots for the game. It's great.
Oh, love Charles, just love him. Michael, we love you too. You're gold as well. You're radio
everybody,
gold.
Everybody except your sales staff.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't speak to it. I don't know what happens up there.
I feel like it's Glengarry Glen Ross. I could go out tonight and make $100,000 on a sit right now with using these leads.
Would you take coffee out of people's hands? Coffee's for closers.
Coffee. Put that coffee down. Coffee is for closers.
By the way, before we let you go, how's the interaction on Twitter been with your followers of this from Seattle?
Well, it's great. It's a lot of fun. When I put something out there, the people who respond are usually from Seattle, and it's like Mark Sheehan is. I got to keep saying this guy's always asking me the most bizarre questions, but it's fun to interact with him.
Well, you guys can follow him on Twitter @DailyOmbre. You find him there on Twitter. Interact at your own risk, and you can find him here every Tuesday with Wyman and Bob. We appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
So long, suckers.
You think the sales staff is inspired now?
I think he's gone all in on that and just has resolved himself, or I should say resigned himself to. Just not going to get much.
Not going to get the endorsement.
I like the refresher course, though, on the language there. And I like how he's saying goff, because it reminded me of Judge Smiles.
Yeah.
Except over in Ireland, they call it goff.
Goff. Yeah. What a weird lingo to have out there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
the hair needs cut.
Room bed needs clean.
Yeah, room needs clean. Bed needs made. Yeah. And it's not a rubber band. It's gum band.
Yeah, that's interesting. So he's talking about Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah. He wanted to make sure it wasn't attached to him in Philly. Yeah,
Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah. But that's funny to picture Charles Barkley just in a supermarket pushing a cart. he's gonna stand out. The guy's, I think he's listed at 6'4". He's taller than that.
Is he?
Yeah, because I took a picture with him at that tournament, and I'm 6'3", and he had a good 2 inches on me.
Well, remember when he played center? That way, yeah. It was in the playoffs, and I mean, his legs were so strong, man. I mean, he was such a good player, too. But I feel like he's got an edge, and that's why he interacts with everybody, because he's like, if you mess up, I'll kick your butt. You know, yeah. He still looks like he could get that done.
Yeah, I just love that he's self-deprecating. He'll make fun of himself. That whole show is built around making fun of him and Shaq. Yeah. You know, it's just still the greatest studio show of any sport. I'm sorry, it is. It's hands down. It's the best. Yeah. It's watching in the staff with the creativity of getting their pictures. You know, they'll Photoshop their face on some other body or do it. You know, the slow motion clips of one of them screwing up or eating something or falling down. That show is gold. Absolutely love it. So our thanks to Michael Bradley for joining us, as he does every Tuesday. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at Daily Hombre is where you find him there. Before we turn it over to the Mariners pregame, they're going to win tonight? What do you think?
Yeah, I think they're going to turn it around in that dumpster that is Oakland Alameda Coliseum. I was asking the guys if they've ever been there.
I haven't been there.
You haven't been there?
No.
Wow.
Never heard a kind word about it.
It's one of those things, like a bucket list trip that you really should plan to go there.
I've not heard one kind word about the Coliseum.
Well, I played there really quick. I went down in 2017 to do a Seahawk thing. And the last time I had been there before that was 1995, which was my last game in the NFL, was in that crap hole. Sorry. And, you know, it was exactly the same.
Yeah. So it doesn't look like anything's changed from
25 years. Same carpet, same crummy lockers, the whole thing.
And at night when they play, it looks dark in the outfield.
Yeah.
Like if you're an outfielder, I'm like, can they see the ball very well? Do they pick it up very well? It's just, the lighting is weird. It's just the building is weird. So we'll see if they can get things turned around. Game one coming your way. Marco Gonzalez on the hill. So the Mariners pregame show is coming up. Our thanks to Bob Condotta and El Hombre, Michael Bradley, for joining us on the program. If you missed any of today's show, head to the podcast page, seattlesports.com. Click the podcast tab. Scroll down to our picture. Click on that. You'll find anything you missed waiting there for you each and every day. Click subscribe. That's the key to the whole thing. We're back tomorrow right here with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports Station on 710.